Bruce Lane has been working with electronics ever since he was old enough to start pulling things apart. Sounds like a lot of us. His first exposure to computers was in 1978, and it didn't take him long to develop a passion for them. He is currently employed at Boeing's Information Space Defense Group, Space Defense Systems Group, as a systems analyst. He is also working towards a BSEE degree. In his spare time, he restores DEC, MicroVax, and MicroPDP systems.
Bruce Lane.
Thank you. Well, I'd hope for more of an audience, but they want to wuss out, they can wuss out. Morning, one and all. Meet the guts of the MicroVax.
Just a second.
Yeah. Okay, Digital actually created two types of Q-bus for an expansion bus. The Q18 and the Q22. The number, of course, indicates the number of bits that the bus is in width. The MicroVax and MicroPDP all used the Q22 bus. And the interesting thing about this one is that whereas on the bigger PDP-11s you have the interface to memory is across the main system bus, this is not true in the MicroVax. There's a separate interconnect cable that links the CPU card and the memory expansion cards. The only thing that the memory cards are picking up from the backplane is power. And let's see. Yeah. I fear this is going to be something of death by view foil. This is just the other half of the diagram, which shows some of the options you can put on there. The MicroVax and MicroPDPs are network capable. The preferred network card is called a Delqa, D-E-L-Q-A. The Decunas, D-E-Q-N-A, are not well supported, and they were buggy, firmware-wise. So if you're gonna network, try to get a hold of a Delqa. With a standard disk controller, which is based on using MFM drives, you can have up to 4 hard disk drives, or 2 hard drives, and 1 RX50 floppy device. Here's some sample enclosures that the MicroVax came in. The most common is what I like to refer to as a PC tower on steroids. The BA23 is a tower case. The 123 makes a good end table. Let's see, next. There's also a rack-mounted configuration. The total height here is about 4 feet, and these panels detach, making it easy to get to the innards for maintenance and such. Here's an interior shot of the BA23. Let's see if I can remember which portion is which. This is a cooling duct here. That's all that is. It's just a hunk of plastic that's directing air into the power supply. The BA23 has 2 drive bays. You can get an expansion box that looks just like it, except the control panel's different, that has a couple more. I think further on. Yeah. Note this note. There are power supply limitations. The BA123's power supply has a total of 4 regulators in it. One runs the odd slots on the back plane, the other runs the even slots. And the remaining 2 are there for the mass storage devices. Of course, the DEC wrote this back when hard drives pulled a ton of power. I suspect if you had a SCSI adapter and backed up to using the smaller SCSI drives, you could probably put more than 5 in there if you really wanted to do a squeeze. Let's see. Here's another example of the rack mount. These were usually RA series drives, RA80s, RA81s, what have you. Main box here, and this is the expansion box. Since it was usually used only for mass storage, it just has 2 keys for write protect for each disk. There we go. That's the backside of the BA-23. The BA-23's power supply limits it to one hard drive if you're going to do a full height, 5 1/4. That's why you see up here, not used. This connector, as I recall, was for... Thank you. I wasn't quite sure about that. I work with BA-123s. The BA-23s are still a little bit alien to me, so if I stumble, I'm sure Scott will be most helpful. And, oh, there we go. Intercabling diagram. The Microvax and MicroPDP use the RD50 series of hard drives, 51, 52, 53, and 54. They differed only in capacity. They were all MFM drives, and as I recall, the 53 was a 70 meg drive, equivalent to a Miniscribe 1320. Thank you, Micropolis 1325. It is possible to get a generic drive to work in a Microvaxen. It does need some modifications, and there are a couple of good facts out on the internet that describe how to do that. The RD54 was 170 megs and is the same as a Maxtor XT2190. They will work without modification. The only thing you need to do is set the unit ID and the disk to ID4. And you should be able to just plug it right in and initialize it. Finally, the backplanes. This is the 8-slot backplane. This is what you'll find in the BA-123 cabinet. This line indicates the bus grant and DMA interconnections. You notice the first floor, four slots, only have it straight across. What this means is that in the Microvax, the processor has to be in slot one. That's a DEC requirement. There's no arguments there. You can put memory in slots 2 and 3. I don't believe you can do memory in slot 4. The maximum memory capacity of the Microvax 2 processor is 16 megabytes, or 2 8-megabyte boards. The processor itself has 1 meg on board. And if you do use full 16 megs, that 1 megabyte becomes automatically disabled. That's just a view showing the termination resistors. If you're getting all kinds of weird glitches or strange symptoms when you fire up your Microvax, you might want to look down here and make sure the termination resistors are in place. If you're running with an unterminated bus, it's bad news. Finally, Scott's favorite box and one of mine. This is the backplane from the BA-123 cabinet, or also known as the coffee table. Once again, the first 4 slots are usually reserved for processor, memory, and option. You can install a standard QBus board in slot 4, but it can only be a dual height. A dual height means it takes up just 2 of these slots vertically. Quad height means all 4 in a column. You can use a standard dual height like a network card in slot 4, but you don't want to plug it down here. It will get very mad at you and most likely release much magic smoke and mirrors. Yes. I'm going to knock off with the view foils for a moment and just give a quick timeline on the Microvax. The word VAX, or acronym VAX, actually means Virtual Address Extended. The first development on the line was begun in 1975. The 11780 was the first production machine in 77. The first version of VMS, ironically enough, wasn't released till a year later. God only knows what they were running before then.
RSX under NCR.
You're good. Okay, first version of VMS, 1978. In 1980, DEC followed up with the 11750, smaller, supposedly lighter, the collectors who collect them probably disagree, and used less power. The first VAC Station 1, which were intended as like high-end workstations, came along in 84. This was followed in rapid succession in 85 by the MicroVax 2, VAC Station 2, and VAC Station 2 / GPX. The only difference between those three systems was in options. Processor, memory, and general backplane architecture were all the same.
Graphics.
Thank you. Yes, and the GPX had a high-end color graphics option, which I'll go into a little later. The third MicroVax series was the VAC Station 2000, 1987. And finally, the VAC Station 3100 series, or the pizza boxes, as they're known by some, in 1989. And then in 1991, DEC went and forged an alliance with Microsoft for God only knows what reason. Personally, I consider that one of the darkest days in DEC's history. Point of interest. When you hear VMS mentioned as an operating system for these machines, you'll hear the terms both VMS and OpenVMS bandied around. Don't be confused. They're the same. It's just DEC figured, let's rename it. The machines will run either VMS, OpenVMS, or MicroVMS. They'll also run Ultrix, which is DEC's implementation of Berkeley Systems Unix. Yeah.
It's a 4.2 minus minus.
Thank you. And they will also run NetBSD. I should point out that NetBSD does not fully support the SCSI peripherals in the VAC Station 3100 yet. The author, or one of the authors of NetBSD, is working on that, even as I speak. Let me get rid of this for a moment. There is a potential fire hazard with some of the earliest MicroVax systems, notably the coffee table cabinet, the BA-123. The way to tell is pop off the left side panel and have a look at the cabling from the power supply to the backplane. If the cabling is just completely enclosed, if it's just two big, thick, gray, flat cables with all the conductors bounded together in one jacket, you got problems. That has been known to overheat and catch fire. If it is all individual wires, one just all out and free and hanging out like a rainbow, you're okay. There's an engineering change order that was applied. I don't recall what the number was, but and I'm not even sure if Digital will even acknowledge responsibility for it anymore, but if you're curious, it is out there.
You can still send off the deck.
You can?
And it's a free upgrade.
It is?
Yeah, they won't even charge you for it.
Oh, my.
Of the liability question.
I love it. Deck forced to provide support.
PCO.
I love it. I love it.
Maybe 90 days delivery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's okay. They actually got to go out and build one, so that can't be bad. Okay, let me see which of these I can dispense with. Yeah, heck, I'll just cycle through them. Where was I? In the coffee table or the BA-123 enclosure, there is an auxiliary fan that will start if the door to the card cage is open. Let me see if I have a slide showing that portion. This is not something to worry about. It's just some people, I think, would get a little nervous if they opened a door and suddenly a fan started. Normally, interlocks work the other way around. But, I don't have a transparency for it, but I'll point it out later. Suffice to say, if you look up on the find the BA-123 sketch. Yeah, I want to show these.
My question, though, about why they're so much quieter when they're closed up.
Oh, yeah, it's, I want to show this one. The power supply in the BA-123 can be removed as a unit. The whole thing just pops right out. If you undo about six or seven screws, I think. It is made by Aztec, who happened to be one of the, in my opinion, the best power supplies on the planet. And here, oops, there we go. This is the backside of the BA-123. If you flip your power switch on the front panel on and nothing happens, look back here, your circuit breaker may be open. Voltage selector here. This remote control connector, if any of you have collected PDP-11s before and you're familiar with that 3-pin connector on the power controller, same wiring. DEC made that a standard on all their systems. And the power connector itself takes a standard IEC plug. Here's a sight some of you will be familiar with. Let's see. That's the secondary power switch. The switches have little LEDs at the bottom. Pretty self-explanatory. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But what I am going to mention is that on the back side, this is for the BA-123, on the PC board on the back of this panel, you've got test points for plus 12 and plus 5. It's an easy way to check and see if you're missing a voltage. Even better, on the back side of the BA-123's control panel, you've actually got LEDs for regulators A and B. These here? Okay, those, I think that's on the next slide, actually. Let's see. To be honest with you, I don't remember. I'm kind of scrabbling for an answer here. That is an excellent question. I think it has to do with processor halt options or something similar.
My real question is, is that basically the same switch that is the select switch on the CPU panel on the back?
Oh, you mean these or?
Does it just mirror their operation?
That's a good question. I'm really not sure. I thought I had something on that somewhere, I thought this page had something on it, wait a minute, also contains an align time clock switch unit. Okay, has something to do with the line time clock. Let me look that up when I get back, and I'll get back to you on it. Let's see. The panel for the rack mount systems looks almost identical. It's just the power switch is in a slightly different orientation. PC board's oriented differently. That's about it. All the control panels you see link with a 20-conductor flat cable to a connector on the CPU board. Yeah, mechanical drawings I don't think I'll bore you with. I did want to touch on this. Airflow is important for these machines. They run hot. This is the airflow for the tower cabinet. Make sure you don't have stuff stacked up against the bottom vents. And Scott, you just mentioned that control panel. There it is. This is on all MicroVacs and MicroPDPs will have somewhere on their backside a panel that looks similar to this. This is the connection for the console terminal. This is deceptive, it looks like a standard 9-pin D connector that your typical null modem cable could plug into. No, DEC couldn't be standard. The cable pinout is different from a null modem, but anyway, this is where you would connect the console terminal. You can use just about any kind of dumb terminal or PC emulating a dumb terminal that you want. Preferred is something in the VT line, like a VT100 through VT420, because that way, if the machine tries to do any weird cursor controls, it will be able to do them. That just selects the baud rate for the console port. This, the top position with the arrow, normal operation. That means when you fire it up and it goes through its self-test, it will eventually boot to a hard drive or whatever boot device it finds. This little face here means that it will halt to let you and prompt you to select the language that you want the thing to present its prompts in. DEC is nothing if not multilingual with the VAXs. They present options for Swedish, French, Dutch, German, language of choice. The circled T means it'll continuously loop in a self-test. The mode switch is somewhat related to the halt, disable, enable. Scott, help me out here. Dot outside of the circle means it'll just boot, or?
I can never remember. It's what it does on the halt, whether it will reset.
I know what it
does.
Its purpose in life is that after the machine finishes going through its self-test, will it halt or will it boot? If you have in one position, and I believe it's dot outside of the circle, it will halt and present you with a 3 right bracket prompt, at which point you can do debug commands at the hex level in the CPU. If it is positioned with the dot in the circle, it will try to boot a device without halting. Connections, I think you all know. Ah! That's the one I was looking for. BA-123 airflow. There's your auxiliary fan. That one will start if the door to the card cage is opened. There's a little micro switch that triggers it. There's a cooling fan for the mass storage section and one for the power supply. And you'll notice, I think this is real interesting that DEC did it this way. Rather than sucking air up from below, they're bringing it down from the top. So you don't want to stick this next to a wall or something where it's not going to be able to breathe.
What's that like for dust?
That's actually great for dust.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think
all the dust particles are down the floor, and this way it just pushes them out from under instead of sucking them up.
Yeah, I'm almost sure that's why they did it.
They started that in all the big box vacs too.
Same control panel as you find on all the machines. It's usually in the upper right corner on the BA-123. And by the way, the panels on the BA-123, contrary to popular appearance, they do come off. What you want to do is reach down under it, pull outward firmly, preferably at each end, front and back. You'll feel it. You'll feel some resistance, and then it should give. What's happening? These little jiggers are snap fasteners, kind of similar to the ones they have on kitchen cabinets. And that's all you're fighting, so. Airflow for the rack enclosures. All you really have to worry about is not blocking the vent. It is very obvious on the left panel. And of course, not blocking the disk drives. Any of you ever seen an RA-81 disk drive? Big monster. Yeah, sits in the bottom of a rack. Okay. Up until I got this manual, I couldn't figure out how to open the darn thing. Because the RA-81 has a transit lock, and if you're moving a VAX system, you want to be sure to lock that because it keeps the heads from going bong on the platters when it's being moved. Anyway. Just like it says, lift up the little latches on the slides, pull the drive as far forward as it'll go without going crash onto your toes. Second step, there's a release latch about the middle of the front cover. It's impossible for me to tell from this diagram if it pushes up, down, sideways, or straight in.
You start wiggle at it.
Wiggle at it, okay. Kind of like the hood on, ooh, battery going? Hmm. But once that happens, the lid should release. That, believe it or not, is your spindle motor. That's the HDA assembly. And this little lever right here is the headlock, as shown here. You really do want to lock this before you move it. I made the mistake of not checking on my own to see if this was locked. I don't know if it works or not. I haven't fired it up yet, and I'm almost afraid to. But the older 8-inch or 14-inch drives are much more susceptible to damage than the modern ones. I'm not entirely sure why. Probably they might be just because they have more mass to the head carriage, but if you're going to move it, lock it. And once you're done, depress the little latches here and the thing will slide right back into the cabinet. Well, is there any interest in some viewfoils on the various system options, like cabling for the serial MUX and, okay. I'll go through those.
At least
we got time.
Recognizing the junk shop.
Yes. I've got some color slides that'll help with that. Yeah. Let me just touch on the address structure of the MicroVaxxon. There's a page on this in the manual, but this paragraph in particular says it all. It's not necessary to change bits 21 through 13, only A12 through A2. To set the CSR address on most option modules. This is why most of the modules you'll find have jumpers for A2 through A12, because you don't, the 13 through 21 are pretty much preset. And it will take a wiser head than mine to go into further detail, but suffice to say that the vector address is the same way. You don't generally need to worry about bit 12. 3 through 11 are usually all you have to concern yourself with. By the way, what you're seeing here is octal, base 8. All of Digital's computers, with the exception... They were all octal, weren't they, with the exception...
Okay.
DEC likes octal. DEC is big on octal. That's just another portion of the vector chart. Not all modules will have vector switches. Some have a fixed vector. Vector, same as an interrupt, is it not? Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, now I get into some board layout and cabling. This is a sample of the high-end video option that I mentioned for the VaxStation 2 GPX. What you have is you have the base module, which contains the video processing and DSP, ROMs, and what have you. Then you can have either one or two four-plane color modules. A single four-plane module will give you 16 colors. If you have a pair of four-plane modules, you're in great shape. You'll get 256 colors. Now, for those that are used to the PC world, that may not sound like much, but I'll tell you something. I've seen X Windows in 256 color. It looks gorgeous. I like this page because it gives a great example of where the processor and memory cards are. With DEC, processor always in slot 1. I have yet to see a machine where they didn't have the processor in slot 1. And the memory, right, and the first memory card right next to it, number 2. But this is an example of, remember I was mentioning you could plug in an option board to slots A and B in one of the first 4 slots? There it is. That's an Ethernet interface in slot 4. But if you're going to do that and you don't have anything in 3, you need what's called a grant continuity card. That's so the DMA and
bus grant.
Thank you. DMA and bus grant lines can continue through to the next module. Let's see. Here's a better example of the cabling connections for the VCB02 video option. The interesting thing with the VCB02, they bring out keyboard, video, and mouse all to one 15-pin connector. The pinout for this is available on the net. That's how I made my own cable for it. If you're lucky enough to get the correct cable, it will, for a color monitor, it will have 3 BNC connectors on it, red, green, and blue. The DEC monitors are sync on green, fixed frequency. It will have a miniature 7-pin DIN connector for the mouse, and it will have what looks for all the world like a telephone jack for the keyboard. And I wish to God I had a photo of that cable, because it's a good one to look for. That's more. You think you got one?
I probably.
Oh, bless you. Go get it. Shoo shoo.
So are these like Wolfram's Ellie posted on my account the other day? They're like some mouse pads. Whenever we find one, we should pick one up. You should pick it up.
In the case of the color cables, absolutely, because DEC charges 70 some odd bucks for a new one. I mean, you can still get them. You can still get them. They're just expensive. Here's some sample backplane configurations. These are based on typical systems. Yeah, A, B side, CD. This would be for the BA-23, and this one for the 123. These are just suggestions, but I really recommend that if you're going to collect and work with MicroVaxes, you adhere as closely to DEC standard as you can. There is some flexibility. Like, to give you an example, my own VAX station, which has the 123 cabinet, I have, of course, processor in slot one. The 7608 is not the latest of the memory boards. The 7608 is a 4-meg board. There is an 8-meg board, the M7609, and you can have up to two of these, one here, one here. They're quad-height boards, so they take up all four slots. What I did was I've got my processor at 27609s, and I've got a serial MUX right here, and then the high-end video.
Excellent.
Monochrome one. Good example of the monochrome cable, but you can pass this around if you want.
They come in long and longer.
Yes, that they do. The color photos are more interesting. These are transparencies of the actual dull black and white drawing of the video boards. I'll show them if you want, but I've also got some color slides. Oh, wait a minute. No, I don't, actually. I'm sorry. I'll show these. Four-plane module. This is one of up to two you can have. Fairly distinctive. It'll have some processor chips here. A 50-pin connector here and a 20 here. That'll be a stack of memory in the middle of it. That is the controller. Pretty hairy board. The illustration says it all. The diagnostic LEDs up here, if any of these remain on after the system has tried to boot, it's bad news. You've got a problem in the video subsystem, either with the memory or the processor itself, and the VCB02 tech manual can cover that for you, what the LEDs mean. Sam, how am I doing on time? Okay. Okay.
So, Matt, you're done. Get out.
Okay.
Actually,
I want
you to try and
take
whatever time you
want. Okay, within reason, yeah. Alright, I'll run across some of the less common options then. Yeah. How about color slides? Color slides, okay. Yeah, honestly, I'm getting kind of bored of the view foils myself. One of my instructors at Boeing, when they did a course on microcontrollers, he did death by view foil. Horrifying fate, I can tell you.
What's the difference between VCS and Boy Scouts of America? Here I ask. Boy Scouts of America have adult supervision.
Have a what?
Adult supervision.
Ooh. Oh, that's bad. I like it.
Okay, what did we do last time to make this work?
Oh, very simple.
Back a little bit so we got reasonable sized picture, and
yay! Actually, just bring me the mic if it'll stretch. I did that just for you, Sam. just put one... Can we borrow that book or something? Wait a minute. Oh, well, a little too high. Yeah. Dang it.
Two TK-50s? Do you want a copy?
Darn near. Ah, perfect. Okay. Any way we can dim those lights? Yeah.
It's the sunlight is more here.
It's on. Well, believe it or not, that's high. All right. Backstation 2 GPX, that's mine, in a glorious state of disrepair at the moment. It actually does work. I've just been toying with adding a pair of TK-50 tape drives to it so I can duplicate tapes at a reasonable speed. There's your side view. Let's see. Let me get my pointer. This is the card cage I was mentioning. And you can also see the mass storage section here. I have a pair of RD-54s, one genuine RD-54 and an XT-2190.
Those are sideways?
Huh?
It looks like they're in funny.
Those are which? Oh, no, they slide in right side up. It's just these are 5 1/4 full height drives. So, yeah. Hard drive, tape drive, and the floppies on the other side. This white cable here is the output for the video subsystem. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's the network. That's the video subsystem right there. Okay. This one here is some experimenting I was doing with a SCSI interface. Oh, let me back up one second. That micro switch I was talking about for the auxiliary fan, right there. So if that auxiliary fan really gets annoying, you can stick something over it, but I don't recommend it because these cards, remember, TTL logic, you can get a lot of heat. Okay, there's the back panel. That control panel I mentioned. These are serial ports. I have a DHV11 8-line multiplexer in there. This is the custom cable I made to connect the mouse because I didn't have exactly the right cable for video and such. If you ever see a Microvax with one of these little panels on it, two 15-pin connectors labeled A and B, grab it, because that means what it's got in it is the RRD40/50 CD-ROM controller. That's what this is for. And this is just a custom bracket I made for SCSI connector. That down there, that's a loopback plug for Ethernet, AUI. There's the front panel removed, and you can see how the drives just slide right in. Floppy drive and two tape drives and such. You can just see the RRD40 on top. Let's see, that is a VacStation 2000, and if you find one of these, grab it, because if nothing else, they make wonderful hard drive formatters. The reason being is that in the VacStations, the later Microvaxes, digital took out the formatting ability from the system EEPROMs as they had in the 2000, and they made it available only on the service diagnostics, which are rare as hen's teeth. Here's some examples of some BA23 boxes. There's that Microvax 1 box that I'm going to be bringing you next year. Standard BA23, expansion, and this is a micro PDP here. Oh, my Boeing badge ended up in the background. This is a rack mount system. I apologize for the poor lighting. I took this in my garage with the door open. There's nothing up here yet. BA23, expansion. Down here, you can just make out the front panel for an RA81. That's a 400 meg drive, if I recall. It's huge.
I thought the KDA50 was proscribed in the BA23 cabinet. Don't you need a KDA50 to run your...
You do, but it's not proscribed that I know of, unless there was some later engineering bulletin I missed. But that's the way that I got the rack, so I'm assuming it was okay. Here's the backside of a BA23. Again, the top fixed disconnector is not used because in a BA23, power supply limitations, can't have two hard drives unless you're going to use like a really small SCSI drive or something. Then you can get away with it. The Pizza Box, Backstation 3100. Digital brought this out as a kind of a low-cost answer to the Microvax 2 GPX, which, God, big monster, as we've all seen. Here's the rear of it. It has connections for Ethernet, for, God, I can't remember where everything is. Basically, it's got sufficient connections to handle, that's for the keyboard.
Keyboard, mouse, video.
Bless you. Yeah. This block right here is actually a SCSI terminator, as we'll see here. Okay, now, this is a 68-pin connector, and this is the little block that's removed. It's just a terminator. That's it. Now, here's the kicker. This connector, you look at it, you think, oh, great, standard wide SCSI connector. I'll go down and get a 68 to 50 adapter. Digital couldn't do it simply. You know, most 68-pin wide SCSI, they're female. Wrong. This is a male. Yeah, you need a custom cable. They can be had. Digital will send you one for about $80. But I got lucky and I found some locally. If you're local to the area, check over at Weird Stuff Warehouse. I've seen them turn up there every so often.
Every time they do, I buy them all.
Hmm?
Every time they do, I buy them all.
Yeah, there you go. See Scott. He's got them. that's just a... Ew. How'd that get in there? Never mind. Bad slide. TS-05 tape drive. 1600 BPI, 9-track, front loading. This is actually OEM'd for digital by Cypher Corporation. It is a standard Pertec interface. Slightly better view of it. The lighting changed. Thanks to my very patient and helpful wife for helping to show an RD53 disk drive. As you can tell, Micropolis. 1325 in that case. That's a 70 megger. Here's an interior shot of the BA23 showing the processor board right on top. And that, in fact, is the Microvax 1 processor. Hard drive here, RX50 floppy here. That's that air duct I mentioned. Power supply here. Top view of the RD53. The genuine RD53s will have a label similar to this. And they may be marked with the formatter that they were, or with the controller they were formatted with, like RQ, in this case, RQDX3. No, that's not a picture of sideways wolves. That is, in fact, a mounting plate that must be attached to any 5 1/4 form factor drive before you install it in the BA23 or 123 cabinet. The mounting plates are still available from DEC. They are one of the few things that are actually reasonably priced. I think they're about $4 or $5 a piece. This is an interior for the Backstation 3100. Power supply, SCSI hard drive. This floppy drive is a standard TIAC 235, same 1.44 you'll find in PCs. It is connected to a bridge board, which bridges the floppy interface to SCSI.
Who makes that? Is it a DeckMate or do they buy it?
It is a DeckMate board. You can see the SCSI bus cable here, which goes back to the controller. And the Backstation 3100s actually had an option to mount a SCSI tape drive that would take cartridges similar to what the TK50 uses. There's a close-up of the disk controller, and this is that external port I was mentioning. This is the connection to the motherboard. This is the bus. Actually, that's one of the bus ports. I think this is another one here. This is the color video option. Notice, 8-plane color option. These are nice to have. You can run, as I mentioned, the VAC stations will run NetBSD and X Windows, and it looks really nice with one of those boards in there. This is the standard memory board that attaches to the motherboard through these two connectors. These come in various sizes. This is a 4 meg. There were third-party options made. Kingston Memory Systems was a big one for this. I have an 8 meg option board by them. It looks very similar.
ClearPoint. ClearPoint is a big third-party memory.
There you go. This is the VacStation 3100 CPU exposed. It's on the very bottom, underneath the 8-plane and the memory. Not much more to say about that. Power connector, but that's your CPU chip. Huh? Oh. Yeah, pretty much. The first thing you do when you will get a VacStation 3100, you want to clean it out. Also, check this battery. This is the NVRAM. This is the real-time clock and NVRAM backup. Yeah, that's the backup battery. Okay, there's a close-up of the floppy. RX23 is DEX designation for it. Like I said, it's a standard TIAC FD235. And this is the bridge board. There's the unit assembled. The 8-plane option mounts upside down, as does the memory. Close-up of the CPU. Onboard memory, which I believe amounts to 1 meg. And I do not believe it becomes disabled if you add memory. But, darn, it's upside down. Oh well. This is an RRD40 Caddy disassembled. I don't know how many of you have seen them, but they're these weird, real skinny things where you actually have to insert the thing into the drive, and when you pull it out, the CD-ROM stays in it. Well, that's one disassembled. That's my copy of OpenBMS 6.2. That's the front of an RRD40 minus its bezel. You notice how narrow the opening is. It doesn't have to be very wide to take that caddy. These drives were OEM'd for digital by Laser Magnetic Storage, now Philips. That's the interior of the drive. And these are pretty rugged. This is the head here, and it's mounted on this rotary voice coil that, well, essentially, those are hard to kill. So if you get one, it's a pretty good bet it's going to work. That's the backside of the RRD40. Notice this connector. If you've ever seen the early Sony CD-ROM drives, might look similar. That's because it's the same interface. So if you get... there is a PC-based controller for it, if there's any interest, but anyway. That's an RX50 with its gates open. When you insert a floppy into these, align the right edge of the floppy with the red stripe. You notice they're transposed. Gates closed. Anyone who has a DEC Rainbow knows what that looks like. That's the top side of the RX50. The RX50, by the way, has a formatted capacity of about 423K. Interior. First thing you should do when you get an RX50 is clean the head, because chances are it's got gunk on it, and that's the head. It's the same thing on the other side. This card is your friend. This is a Grant Continuity card. Yeah, I could do that. I've just been told I ran out of time, so I'm just going to step through these at warp speed. TK50, or wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, TK50 controller. Tape drive. RQDX3. Latest in the MFM controllers. That also controls an RX50. Signal distribution board for that for the controller. Closer view of it. If you get an RQDX3, try to get this board. Control panel for the hard drives. Write protect and ready. Microvax 2 processor. Microvax 2 8 meg memory. Memory interconnect, processor to memory boards. DHV11, serial MUX, 8 lines. Better view of it. That's an RRD50 controller. This card is your friend if you ever find an RRD CD-ROM drive, because that means you can do CD-ROMs without SCSI on the Microvax. The module number for this, M7552.